Proverbs chapter 19, and we'll be reading just one verse, verse 22. And if you're able to, let's all stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 22. And many of you that have known me for years know that it's easier for me to preach a negative message than it is a positive message. And I know for some of you that's hard to believe that have not known me very long. But tonight I'm going to do my utmost for His highest to preach a positive message. And it was a challenge, I got to be honest with you. But once I started praying about it, it became easier. And you know, over the years, if you've been saved for any length of time, you know that if something is not going very easy, sometimes when you pray, God seems to make it easier. Not necessarily that He moves the problem out of the way. He just makes you a better individual to be able to go through the problem. And by the way, making or creating a message is not a problem, but sometimes it can be very difficult, especially when you're talking about kindness. And so I'm going to do my best to preach a positive message tonight. I know all of you are very relieved at that because it's only Wednesday night. My mic's not on? Is it on now? Okay, it's on now. You got me now? Now do you got me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. All right, so I'm going to do my best. Desired kindness. How many would like to leave here tonight kinder than you were when you came? Let me see your hand. I know I would love to. Brother Azarello, you didn't raise your hand. Or you do not want to be any more kind? You're already there. You have arrived. We've never met anybody that's apprehended. Wow. Your wife says otherwise, by the way. Anyway, so let's look at this verse. The Bible says, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Man, when I read that, I thought, oh, my soul. And then I started looking up some words and looking up different places, and the Lord, I think, gave us this message tonight. So I'm going to do my best to speak tonight about desired kindness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that You are kind. Lord, in a few minutes, we're going to see a verse that reminds us that, Lord, the kindness of heaven actually came to this earth. And Lord, what does that mean for us? Lord, what does it mean that the desire of a man is his kindness? And so I pray that You'd please give me utterance tonight. Lord, I cannot preach this message without You, and You know that. Lord, I do admit to You that I need Your help tonight and Your utmost help. And so I pray that You'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may be filled with Thy Spirit. I pray that You'd cleanse me and prepare me, and Lord, just use me as a mouthpiece. Preach through me Your message alone tonight and withhold from my lips those things, those words, that would be an offense to these dear folks or that would hinder Your Spirit from working in our midst. But I pray rather that You just help me to be obedient. Help me to say only and all of those things that You'd have me to say for the glory and the honor of our Savior Jesus Christ as His life is lived out in us. Lord, please give me utterance and help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to our church tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. When William McKinley was president of the United States, he had to make a decision about an appointment of an ambassador to a foreign country. Two candidates were presented to him, and both of them were equally qualified. And only McKinley was, while he was still a congressman, as he was looking at these two candidates, he recalled an incident that happened and an inconsiderate action by one of the candidates. He recalled that he once was boarding a streetcar during the rush hour, so it was very crowded, and getting the last vacant seat on the streetcar. And then pretty soon an elderly woman appeared out of nowhere and jumped on the moving car, and carrying a heavy clothes basket. She went from seat to seat and to seat, and no one offered to give up their seat for her. And so she stood in the aisle for some time, and she bobbed and weaved back and forth, and as he looked down, this elderly lady ended up standing right in front of this individual candidate who was to be considered for foreign ambassadorship. And while he was sitting there, instead of offering his seat, he simply took his newspaper and maneuvered it to a position to where he was at least appearing to not see the woman at all. When McKinley noticed this, he walked down the aisle immediately, and he graciously took her basket from her and offered her his seat. The man was completely unaware that anyone was watching, but that one little act of selfishness would later deprive him of perhaps the crowning honor of his entire life in serving his country. Now, we may not ever be up for appointment as a foreign ambassador to represent the United States of America, but we have been appointed an ambassadorship to represent our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled unto God." Now as representatives then of the Son of God on this earth, which would be considered foreign land, we have an obligation then to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to represent His life, His work, and according to the Bible, His mind. Now, the Apostle Paul, in a letter to the church at Corinth, was very careful in the way he carried himself. He explains how he handled himself, and over again, as his manner was, he was very careful with his words and his life, so that he was not going to allow anybody the opportunity to, as he would say, blame the ministry. It was always Paul's intentional behavior that allowed him to be all things to all kinds of people so that in the end, he might have an opportunity to see some of them saved. His heart was to never allow his ministry or his involvement in the life of people to be blamed as to why someone would not come to Christ. In fact, I want you to see this, if you will. Turn in your Bible real briefly. Keep your place there in Proverbs. If you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to see this. And it's important to lay the foundation here as to who we are in Christ and as to, again, reminding us of the difference we're supposed to be making by way of representation of our Savior in our daily life. And so the Apostle Paul here writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this is what he says. He says, "Giving no offense in anything, notice that the ministry be not blamed." And then he says, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God." Now look up here just for a minute. What exactly is a minister again? By definition, it's a servant. That's all that it is. I'm not a minister by vocation. I'm a minister by salvation. That's why Jesus saved me, right? We talked about that even on Sunday night. So he says, "But in all things," he says, "approving ourselves as the ministers of God." And then he lists a variety of ways that he wants to approve his servanthood. Or he wants to, at the least, prevent somebody from saying, "That guy's not a Christian. That guy is not a servant of God." He wants to prevent his life from casting blame on what God gives him as a stewardship. Notice what it says. Approving, he says, ourselves as the ministers of God. And then notice how. In much patience. Wow, we could preach about that for a little while. Only a really little while because we're not very patient. In much patience. Notice in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors. Now, up into tumults, it's everything that would happen to Paul. Okay? That's not stuff that he endeavors to do. That's everything that would be from without coming to within. That's everything that would be in opposition to the gospel. No matter what it is, Paul says, "Look, I want to be approved in all things. I don't want the ministry to be blamed. I want to handle distresses properly. I want to serve the Lord knowing that there's going to be an enemy that puts some afflictions in my way, and I want to be patient. When I'm striped, I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ." And so, up into tumults and imprisonments and stripes, those are all things that happen. But then he turns the corner, notice, and now he's going to talk about all the things that he's going to do in order to approve rather than the passive. Now, these are all the active verbs. Notice, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, and then notice, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Paul said there's going to be some things that happen to you, and there are going to be some things that you are going to need to do if you're going to approve the service that you are committing to your King. There are going to be some oppositions in your life. There are going to be trials and circumstances. But aside from the way you handle all of the circumstances in life, God's indicating to us that true servants are active. They're doing some things rather than just being some things. Now look, I understand that we have to be with God first before we can do, but I wonder how much doing is not happening because we're not being with God enough. So the Christian life is, as we've said many times, not static. We're supposed to be approving all things, and He gives us the way. Though some things would be passive and happening to us, God allows us His grace and His Holy Spirit to go through those things in such a way that we would approve our servanthood to Christ. And then He says, here are the ways that I'm approving those things in my activity. Now, Paul said that one of the ways that he proved himself as a servant of Christ was through kindness. Our text reveals that it is an honor of a man who has any virtue at all, any spiritual integrity whatsoever, to show kindness. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:22, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Now, it is said then that the heart of a good man is to do good, is to be kind. It is also said, for some, they would rather give than to receive themselves, for therefore the heart of a good man is toward another kindness or another's benefit. It's not the idea for a good man just to be a taker, he's a giver. Now, by the way, this was supposed to be the mind of every New Testament Christian. Paul said to the church of Philippi, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What is that talking about? Well, the mind of then the next verse, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. Jesus Christ was not thinking ever about himself. He was thinking about the Father's will, and the Father's will was serving you. It was the demonstration of his kindness. We've heard even that David prayed, according to thy loving kindness. What was it that allowed Jesus to die on the cross? What was that gesture of goodwill? It was God's kindness that allowed his Son to die for us. The idea is that Jesus Christ was minded toward the needs of others, that we as his disciples ought to be of the same mind. What is that mind? It's to be a minister. It's to be a servant. Now, you would probably agree with me that there is enough hate in the world already. There's enough negativity. Brother Skelly used to tease me and say, Brother Haynes, you're just a hater, man. And haters hate. That's what they do. You just hate everything. And there's enough hate in the world. There's this religion hating that religion, and this country hates that country, and this ball team fan hates that ball team fan, and all that kind of stuff. There's enough hate to go around. What this world and what your world and what your neighborhood and maybe even your own home could use is a little kindness. Probably more than just a little kindness, a little more. So let me take your notes tonight, or take your notes with me, and I want to show you three simple, just simple principles about the kindness that God desires in each of His children. And I want to try to explain this first to the best of my ability with God's help. First of all, I want you to consider that kindness is a good desire to have. To want to be kind rather than to hate is a good thing. Isn't it interesting how some people are just more kind than others? And those people sometimes get on my nerves. But it's interesting how there's some people are just more kind than others. Now, most people like us would say, well now, preacher, nobody is that kind naturally. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? No one is that. There's not a lost person that really is kind. It's just impossible for a lost man or a lost woman to be kind. I don't think so. I know some lost people that are pretty kind. In some cases, they're more kind than some Christians that I know. Albeit tragic, that is, unfortunately, sometimes the truth. That there would be a lost person who would be kind, and they're more kind than the one that is supposed to have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. How is that possible? How does someone really have that desire to be kind? Well, first of all, I could consider that good upbringing could make somebody kind. You have a kind father and a kind mother, pretty good chance that you're going to be kind when you come out of the womb. Not when you come out of the womb, but by the time you get out of the house. You're going to be raised in a kind house. And mom and dad taught them right. Austin and I today were coming back from lunch from Gilroy, and we got in over the freeway down on Dunn, and on Cochrane, and I noticed in the back seat of this little bitty Toyota station wagon that there was a guy sitting sideways in the back. And I was like, there's not a seat in there for that. That's illegal. And I was like, if that were me, I'd be getting a ticket right now. If I had my dog at the window at the driver's seat, I'd be getting a ticket right now. Where's the police officers when you need them? And so we just happened to be going in the same place that this car was turning in. I could not figure out for the life of me why this grown man was sitting in the back of this car. And I said to Austin, I said, you know, I wonder if they picked up a hitchhiker. And they were like, if you're going to get a ride, you got to sit all the way in the back. And sure as shooting, I was sitting there waiting for my sons to come out. And I saw this lady pull in the parking lot. She popped her trunk. And this guy with all of his stuff came out of the back of the car and just started walking away. And he shut the curtain. And it was a lady probably in her mid to late 40s. And I thought it's either her daughter or her granddaughter in the seat. I thought, boy, those are two brave ladies. What in the world were they thinking? Austin said, Dad, I don't even know if I'd pick up somebody like that. Isn't that the reality? What were they doing? They were just being kind. At what expense? Maybe their life? I don't know. Maybe they had a 357 in the seat that I didn't see, and they don't fear anything. I don't know. The fact of the matter is, what were they just doing? They were and he just started walking. He walked over in front of Walmart and sat down. And now, I don't know that I would necessarily do that. Some of us would say, well, that's foolish. You never know what's going to happen. Well, for that person, maybe it was necessary. It was their way of showing kindness. So, first, in some instances, it is possible for someone not to be saved and just have a good upbringing. They were taught to be kind. Not to necessarily, you know, go out of your way and put yourself in danger, but certainly if it's within your means to do good, then to do good. There's nothing wrong with that. So, a good upbringing. Well, what else would perhaps allow somebody to be kind or have that desire? Well, maybe they have just a moral resolve in themselves. One day they decided, maybe 2014, maybe 2015, this year, my resolve, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to be more kind. And I'm going to show that kindness. I'm going to, when people hold up a sign that says anything will help, I'm going to give them money. I'm going to bring them a McDonald's card, whatever. There is within a human being the opportunity to choose a different path. However he comes to that conclusion, it is perfectly within his realm to say, you know what, I'm tired of hating. So I don't want to hate anymore. By the way, just saying, I don't want to hate and I want to be kind does not equal salvation. You need to understand and remember that. But he does possess the ability to say, I want to be nice. And we would all say, man, I wish there were more nice people in the world. I wish they were more kind. So we can understand it tonight. Kindness is a good desire. You could get it from good upbringing, and you could also get it by just perhaps a moral resolve. There's enough hate in the world. I've lived this way long enough. It's not working out for me, so I'm going to decide to be kind. It would be like an unsaved person saying, I'm going to decide to stop drinking. It's not healthy for me. I'm going to decide to stop smoking. Whatever it is, I'm going to go on a diet. Those kind of decisions are made all the time. So it's within our ability, at least, to say, I'm going to make that moral resolve. But I would submit to you that for any individual that has the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that at least one reason or one way that somebody ought be kind would be simply because the Holy Spirit of God has control of their life. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit or the evidence that the Holy Spirit is in control, the manifestation that you're being led by the Spirit and not walking in the flesh, as he is aforementioned, is love. It's joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. And then there's a word there, it's goodness. Now, people would say, well, now, Pastor, you're not preaching on desired goodness, you're preaching on desired kindness. Well, I want you to understand that that word goodness means an act of kindness. It is goodness in action, which is what kindness is. Krestos is the one word, and I can't say the other one off the top of my head right now, is the other word, and they're synonymous one with another, and both of them could be translated either way. It is the evidence of the Holy Spirit that I would do good unto all men as I have opportunity. So we understand that. For some people, by the way, salvation is truly life-changing. Before they were saved, they were the opposite of kind. They were cruel. They were fierce. They were inhumane. They could be savage and hard or harsh. They would be very rough and grim and implacable and merciless and unrelenting. And then all of a sudden, the kindness of God shows up and spares them the condemnation and wrath of God, and their life is completely transformed, and they feel as though they're a debtor to that kindness. Take your Bibles and turn over, if you will, to the book of Titus. And I want you to read just a couple of verses there. Titus chapter, if you will, 3. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 3. Now, this is a letter to another pastor, and so this kind of things are helpful and precious to me. But the Bible says in verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but notice, gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. And then he parenthetically explains how we're saved, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, watch, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to unto all men. Now, these in verse 8 and then again in verse 1, he mentions good works. And in the middle of that, he says, listen, what made the difference in your life was the kindness that God showed to you. And so we would understand then, well, if somebody gets saved and the Holy Spirit is leading them, then they wouldn't be cruel. They wouldn't be haters. They wouldn't be backbiters. They wouldn't be malice. They wouldn't have malice, the outward manifestation, that which is akin to wrath because of the anger. So it would make sense. Certainly, in a natural sense, good upbringing could cause someone to desire to be good. And then, of course, just the moral resolve of somebody saying, well, I don't want to be like this anymore. It's not healthy to my family. It's certainly not conducive to the work environment. But for the Christian, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. It's saying, God, I want to be like your son. Your kindness made a difference in me. But I would submit to you another reason for someone having the desire to be kind would be because of virtue at their heart. Now, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, a passage that I've turned to many times, and we've explained it many times, that God says, listen, after you get saved, there's some things that you need to add to your life. There's some things that you need to put on top of that faith. He said in verse 5, and beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. That word virtue speaks not just of moral excellence, but it goes beyond a static faith, and it said that it is goodness in action. It says, it's interesting to me that the Apostle Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whose fruit is goodness, that the first thing that you're supposed to add to your faith is an act of goodness. It's doing something for someone else. It's as if God designed this whole thing that we would never have to be selfish, that we would always be thinking of someone else, that we would always be thinking of their need and trying to meet it or to fill it. What good, by the way, is it to have faith without works? And so God says, I want you to understand this matter of kindness, this matter of acting in a good way toward others is a good desire to have. And secondly, I want you to consider kindness and honesty is even better. Now, if you go back to our text in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 22, the Bible gets down to business. It says, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The tenor of our proverb, proverb gives us insight as to the importance of the heart. Now, follow me for a minute. We've learned in the last several weeks that the Christian life is live from the inside out, which means that the condition of our heart is more important, more valuable, it is better than the externals of life. So Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So God says, look, there's a reason that keep thy heart with all diligence is in the book. Because that's the starting of everything good and or evil. Do we agree with that tonight? Now, if that's the case, then our text indicates that it's far better to have a heart to do good and lack the opportunity because you're poor, rather than having all the means and having the opportunity and saying that you'll do it, but not. It's better to have no means and a heart to do good, lack the opportunity, I'll just read it. How's that? It is far better to have a heart to do good and lack opportunity or means than to have the ability and lack the heart to do good at all. It's far better. The heart of a poor man is better than a rich liar who boasts of what he will do but settles on doing nothing. Okay? So, if it's within thy power to do good, you need to do it. That's the Bible principle. What's it better than? What's kindness and honesty? See, it's all about the heart. That God sees my heart. What is the value of that? Well, first of all, God says it's better than riches. Now, where do I learn to be kind? The wisdom of God. Where do I learn to act like Christ? The Word of God. And God says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It would be better for you to have a heart for God and have nothing externally and have a heart to do good and lack opportunity or the means than to say, well, I have the means and I have the opportunity, but I'm not going to do it. Or at the least, say that I am and not follow through. You ever have anybody that commits to help you do something or commits to do something for you and then just completely reneges without explanation? That's pretty tough to take sometimes. Well, God's likening that here with this opportunity to do good. That kindness is the desire of a man is his kindness. He wants to do good. That's why it's better to be poor and have a heart to do good rather than it is to be rich and lie about your intentions. It's better than riches. It's better than the best restaurants. I'm not joking. Kindness and honesty is better than the best restaurants. Look in the Bible. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. I'm just simply saying it's better to have a dinner of herbs. I think I misplaced the verse. It's better to have nothing and a right heart and a dinner of herbs than a house full of food. The idea is, look, God cares about my heart, and if I'm ever going to be kind, that's where it's going to have to begin. Letter C, it's better than religion. A dry morsel, as I said, quietness there within a house full of sacrifices with strife. That's a form of religion and denying the power thereof. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. It's active. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, kindness then is much better caught than taught. It's not something that we should say, well, I'll just put this on today and I'll go out and do a kind work for my co-workers and I'll say, you know, to the pastor, we've made a difference in this way and then we'll go about our way. That's going to be in vain because it's not for the Lord, it's for your pastor. The difference is only made when you do it for the Lord. It's in vain otherwise. If you are doing it just because you feel obligated, and I even said at the beginning of this year, I said, listen, it would be better for you to not do anything for anybody else, to not bring a meal, to not have some hot cocoa at work. It'd be better for you not to share a pie with your neighbor if you're going to do it for vain sake. But if you're going to do it to make a difference and for the glory of God, then God will honor that. Especially if the idea is that you would be all things to all men, that you would by all means, at the end of it, hopefully see some of them saved. Now that's the whole idea. So it would be better for me to have a heart to do those things with pure intentions than to have false motives, but, well, let's just be honest. The cross-reference to this is Ananias and Sapphira. This is what we did. I'm here to pick up my faith promise card. Here's the money. And then they carried him out by their heels, dead. Why? Because they lied to the Holy Spirit. They didn't have it in their heart. Kindness, it's born in the heart of a Christian who developed a heart for God. Kindness is a good desire. It's a good thing to pray for. God, would you help me in this venture? Would you help me to think about the kindness that you showed to me so that I could return that kindness in an act of goodness? That I would take that virtue seriously, that I would add it to my faith, that it wouldn't just be faith, that it would begin with works. We see that kindness is a good desire. Kindness and honesty is better. Thirdly, I want you to think of this. Kindness is best for all. It's best for all. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, after he talks about the grace of God and walking lowly and endeavoring to keep the unity and the bond of peace, and he begins to talk about the gifts that God has given in apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, those things, he starts to talk about being equipped for the work of the ministry and edifying the body of the Christ. At the end of that chapter, he says this, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The Greek word for kind there means to furnish what is needful. It means to be useful. It's see the need and take the lead. It's there's a need. I think I can meet that. The Holy Spirit of God is prompting me. My thought is this. Everyone wins when an act of kindness is committed. You think about the woman at the well. You think about what Jesus offered her. You think about the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. You think about, I love it. I love it when John finally gets to the end and he said, "Look, the reality is," and I'm paraphrasing, "you can't write down all the stuff that Jesus did good. There's just too, there's not enough pen, there's not enough ink, there's not enough paper in the world to write down all the things that Jesus did for people. He was the epitome of a servant. I don't know, I doubt very seriously that we'll get to heaven and find out that Jesus had an opportunity to do good, Brother Azzarello, and passed on it. Probably won't have any of those being said about our Lord in heaven. As he therefore had opportunity to do good, he probably did it to everybody. He went everywhere healing. They would bring people from everywhere, and relentlessly, Jesus just continually handed out virtue." Remember when the woman with the issue of blood, if you want to talk about adding virtue to her faith, came behind, "If I may just touch the hem of his garment," and he touched Jesus, immediately turning around, the Bible says, knowing that virtue had left him. What happened? He met a need. Kindness is best for all. What does it do? I mean, like when we're kind, when we do something to make a difference in someone's life, when we are actively looking for that opportunity to furnish what is needed. By the way, let me just say this. What are you in need of tonight? Because Jesus is still meeting needs. He's still helping people who are hurting. He's still encouraging people who are discouraged. He's still paying bills. He's still providing for our table. Somebody help me. He's still good and he's still faithful. And he has been and he always will be. He's still in that business. He still goes to the well every day and looks for who's thirsty. What does it do when we're good? What's shown? Well, letter A, it demonstrates your rebirth. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." You see, when I go through with meeting a need, what does it do? It demonstrates the mind of Christ. It demonstrates a spirit of God. People would certainly perhaps have looked at the disciples in the distresses and necessities, but also in this statement, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He didn't have what the man wanted, but what he had was what the man needed. And he got it. It demonstrates your rebirth. Secondly, it displays a renewed mind. Interesting again, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good." There's that word again. The same Greek word good there is the goodness that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I demonstrate my renewed mind. Now look, the fact of the matter is, if I'm kind one day and I'm not kind another, it's because I'm not walking in the Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit is in me and he's He's leading me and guiding me into all truth. He's saying, be kind, look for a need. Pray this way. Lord, if there's a way I could be a blessing today, would you make me a blessing? Would you let me be a help? One of our teachers brought bagels to work today for everybody. Now, I at first thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And I didn't think it was very cool when I couldn't find the cream cheese. I thought, well, what good's a bagel without cream cheese? That's not very kind. But it was already eaten. So my point is this. She didn't have to, but she did. And she didn't do it for prowess' sake. She didn't do it so people will go, oh, look how great she is. She just wanted to be a blessing. And she apparently met a need because a lot of people were eating them. Now, what's that evidence of? I doubt that it was, although she had a moral upbringing, I doubt that it was her parents taught her that way. I would like to believe it was her renewed mind this morning that said, I'll take these, or last night, I'll take these, or whatever. Look, the fact of the matter is, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, He's going to start to manifest Himself in us. And that renewed mind daily is what He wants. It demonstrates our kindness, demonstrates our rebirth. It demonstrates our mind of Christ. Thirdly, it distills an evil world. Man, there is so much in this world wrong and wicked and evil and vile. There's so much against everything that we are supposed to be for in this church. But I want you to realize that it has always been that way. It has always been that way. There has never been, listen carefully, a moral majority. Well, the one exception, when Noah got on the ark and everybody else was dead. I'll go back and I'll say that. After that, it wasn't that way, though. Look at the fact. The fact is one of Noah's sons went wrong. And the next thing you know, you have it all cycling all over again. Now, here's my point. The Bible says one of the best verses in the New Testament, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I think it's in your notes. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the what? Holy Ghost. And with power. Who went about doing, say it with me, good. He went about doing what? Good. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Look, wouldn't you like to have that said of you? If Jesus was our example in suffering, He was a greater example in service. Regardless, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. The idea is that if Jesus was, we say, led by the Spirit, we should also be led by the Spirit. If Jesus was kind, we should be kind. Well, if Jesus went about everywhere doing good, now we're, of course, not able to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. But watch. We have God with us if we're saved. What does it do? Well, God uses the kindness of a Christian to distill or purify by action an evil world. Aureli is in the back. She works in a public school. She's a kind person. She really is. She's a good lady. We need good, kind Christian school teachers in the public school. Somebody say amen right there. That's the fact. Why? Because it's wicked. There's all kind of trash being pushed through the school districts in America and the Board of Education. They want to teach everybody contrary to the Word of God in a variety of areas. What do we need? Do we need somebody down there going, you all are going to hell and I can't believe I'm standing up? No, we need someone with the mind and spirit of Christ. We need somebody down there loving them. And being kind, listen, in spite of them, does it remind you of somebody? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The idea of kindness is such a good idea. Kindness and honesty are even better, that I would have a heart that is pure, and I want to do that which is kind because the Holy Spirit's in control of my life. And that kindness, obviously, is best for all. In fact, Alexander McLaren said, kindness makes a person attractive. If you would win the world, he said, melt it, don't hammer it. Some of us independent Baptists do that pretty good, don't we, Brother Israel? Despite his busy schedule during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln often visited the hospitals to cheer the wounded. On one occasion, he saw a young fellow who was near death. As he said to the young man, "Is there anything I can do for you?" The young man replied, "Please write a letter to my mother." Unrecognized by the soldier, the chief executive sat down and wrote as the youth told him what to say. The letter read, and I quote, "My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty, and I will not recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and Father. Kiss Mary and John for me." The young man was too weak to go on, so Lincoln signed the letter for him and then added this postscript, and I quote, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." Asking to see the note, the soldier was astonished to discover who had shown him such kindness. He said to the president, "Are you really our president?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Now, is there anything else I can do for you?" The lad feebly replied, "Will you please hold my hand?" He said, "I think it would help me to see me through to the end." And so the tall, kind, gaunt man we call Abraham Lincoln granted his request, offering a warm hand and words of encouragement until death stole him at the dawn. Now, I wonder what kind of difference we could really make if we truly gave it some thought and energy. We may not ever sit at the bedside of someone who is going to be taken at the dawn, but certainly there is something that we can do to meet a need. I think only God knows, and I think only time will tell, but I pray that it's this year. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you for showing us your kindness and love.